Today marks the 11th anniversary of the invasion of Iraq, and even though the U.S. officially left the country in 2011, it's still in turmoil. Just yesterday, a series of bombings claimed the lives of 16 people.
Can you imagine small areas? They are surrounded by concrete walls, 6 meters high, and there's a gate in each small area. Every 20, 30 blocks, there's something like that. This is where Baghdad is. What takes you about 20 minutes by car to go from one spot to another, now it takes about 6 hours and you may never come back. It's just beyond imagination. And it's getting from worse to worse to worse every single day.
That's Hisham Alalusi, an Iraqi-American who lives in Hayward and came to the U.S. in 1980. There are millions of Iraqis who have left. Many ended up in neighboring countries, and some, with the help of the U.N., got refugee status and relocated to the U.S. or to Europe. California is now home to the largest number of Iraqi refugees in the country. Last year, we introduced you to one of them. His name is Rahman Al-Kabi. Here's Rahman recalling his journey out of Iraq.
People call the road the death road, seriously, because there is no guarantee that people or we in the car will make it safe to Syria. It was a very terrifying trip. It was one of these days that I will never, ever forget. We couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it when we reached Damascus. We were so happy. We were so happy to reach that country that's going to give us a hope to start our family, happy family again.
Al-Kabi eventually made it to San Francisco, where he chased his dream of becoming a clown, or Rahman the Clown, as he calls himself. One of our listeners heard Rahman's story and decided she had a way to help fulfill that dream. We called Tina Marzell today and asked her to tell us how it happened.
Last year, I was listening to KALW when I heard a young Iraqi man, Rahman, talk about his journey to the United States as a refugee. He was and is an actor, mime, clown, who was forced to leave Iraq at the time. And I was so moved by his story that I contacted KALW, who connected me with Citizens Reach Out. And a week later, I met Rahman in Monterey, where he was living and still is. And helped to organize a fundraising benefit for him so that he could be a workshop intern at the San Francisco Mime Troupe, where I've been associated for nearly 20 years. It was a very successful fundraiser. He was able to spend the summer as a workshop intern, learning more about the craft of this kind of mime. And he had a wonderful summer, and it was a wonderful opportunity for those of us to help him.
Individual acts like that one are what continue to help Iraqi refugees create lives outside of their home country. Today, we're going to tell you another story about how an Iraqi refugee made his way to the Bay Area. His name is Ahmed Al-Kubaisi. He's from Fallujah. He lived across the street from an American military base. When he was 15 years old, he was going to the local market and was shot by a stray bullet from an American soldier. Now Ahmed's at a local hospital here in the Bay Area, where KALW's Hana Baba went to hear his story.
Hi. Here, thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's lunchtime. A nurse brings in a tray of food and sets it on the bed where Ahmed is laying. There's a window, a TV, a sink, and the constant sound of a pump at the foot of the bed that pushes air into Ahmed's mattress. It inflates and then deflates regularly on either side of his body, simulating motion so that he doesn't get bed sores. I ask him to take me back to the moment right after he realized he was shot.
I fell down and I started bleeding. That's what I remember. There were lots of people in the street, passerbys, soldiers at the military base. There were some friends I knew in the street, but no one would dare to approach and help me. I stayed like this for a few minutes, and then someone threw a rope and tried to ask me to catch that rope so that they can pull me away from the site.
They took him to the nearest field hospital, where doctors ran an IV and evaluated his condition, but they couldn't do much.
Right when I was admitted to the field hospital, my dad knew of the situation and he was with me along the way. I had to move between different hospitals, from the field hospital to Al-Fallujah hospital and then to the Ramadi hospital. I was even referred to hospitals in Baghdad, and after evaluation, they found out that I have paralysis of my lower limbs. I can't move my legs anymore. They did a few measures, but they thought at the end that there is no solution, and if I wanted to do anything further, I have to be seeking help outside Iraq, in Jordan, maybe.
I asked him how he paid for all the expenses and if he thought to seek help from the U.S. naval base.
After going back to Iraq in the year 2008, I visited the U.S. base to file a complaint and to ask for help in regard to my medical situation.
At the U.S. base, he met someone he calls Captain David. We don't know his last name.
Captain David.
Through a translator, I managed to tell Captain David my story, and he seems to have enough information. He pulled the file and gathered all the information, and he told me that at the time this incident happened, he was actually thinking of sending a group of people to help me or to save me from where I was. But he found out that some of the passerbys, some of the friends, took me already. He also told me that they got enough information about my background, my family, and the fact that I was just passing by. I was unarmed and I wasn't holding anything in my hands. He offered his apologies and he said all they can do is regret it and apologize. I told him that I had to go to Jordan and spent a lot of money on my health care and I need some help financially, but he couldn't do that. He only offered to consult some of the senior officers at the base, and he told me that he will get back to me with the news.
Ahmed managed to meet with the captain a couple more times, but he says, ultimately, the U.S. military told him they would not be able to help him. In the meantime, Ahmed and his family were receiving death threats from militiamen who wanted to bomb the U.S. naval base near his house, and because he was seen going in and out of the base.
Because of our proximity, they kept telling us that if we couldn't move out of the house, they will shell our house as part of their offensive against the U.S. naval base. We didn't have any alternative residence, so we could not move out. The first threat was an envelope with a letter saying that we have to move out. The second had a CD with scenes of people being massacred, killed, and a bullet telling us that if we couldn't leave, our fate will be exactly the same as the people on the CD.
That's when Ahmed decided it was time to leave Iraq for good. He wanted a chance at better health, a college education. He would go back to Jordan and try to go to the place with the best health care possible, the United States. He packed up his things, bade his family farewell. I asked him if he remembers the day he said goodbye.
Saying goodbye to my parents wasn't easy. I had to convince them that because of my medical condition, there isn't much that I can do in Iraq. I had really rough times over there because of the symptoms that were associated with my medical complications. I had fever that kept me up at night, infections. I couldn't even eat properly because spasm in my leg would pull the plate off my lap and turn it upside down. I had to do something, and when I told my parents, they were all resisting at the time. My father thought that it's just something I would do temporarily. I'd go seek help for my medical condition and then come back. He thought I will not last over there because there is nobody else who can take care of me, and away from the family, I will not survive. My mother, she wanted me to go out to seek help. She wanted me to get better, but at the same time, she couldn't take the fact that she will be away from me for a long time. I asked them, and I tried to convince them that it's the only way. They took it at the end with some sadness in there, but they blessed it, and I left.